Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
The three editors of a new anthology, The Global Game, Writers on Soccer, found stories in Latin America, Eastern and Western Europe, England, Africa, Asia, and even in the U.S., hence making a fine case for the global in the title of the book. Two of those three editors, John Turnbull and Alone Robb, spoke with me this week, John from Georgia Public Broadcasting in Atlanta and Alone from his home in California. I began our conversation by asking John how he and his colleagues had gone about choosing which essays, stories, and poems to include in the collection.
Well, I think we looked at material over the course of about 3 or 4 years, so it was a long compilation process. And we had a great advantage, the other co-editors, Tom Satterley. He's a literary translator and a poet, and he had access to a very generous network of translators who themselves turned us on to writers and pieces about soccer that we didn't know about. And in the process of translating these authors' works, they had come across pieces in Latin America and Central Europe, for example, that novels, poems, short stories, chronicas, all literary forms that concern soccer.
And the work itself was about 3 years, but I think we put our lifetime into loving this game and playing it and reading it. Once we decided to come together and edit this anthology, we met and we divided the world kind of like at Yalta between the different empires. So I got the Middle East and Eastern Europe and Iceland, and then we had the other countries and areas divided, and it seemed to work very well. And once we decided on these areas, we were able to contact different people, we were able to dig in archives and come up with some fantastic literature.
Some of the authors you've presented may be a little prone to exaggeration. Alvaro Enrique ends the essay in which he tells the story of a player named Alfonso the Fool Madrigal by writing, "Maybe some Sunday I should go to Pachuca and watch a game at their new stadium. Maybe the world would once again be filled with meaning." Was this the sort of intensity you were looking for, John?
Well, I think so. I think that when I think about soccer around the world, the first word that comes to mind is passion. And as Enrique says, the way that a lot of people get meaning in life and the way that they draw their identity is from their local soccer team. Nick Hornby wrote quite a famous book about 15 years ago, Fever Pitch, about the Arsenal club in London. And he basically exegetes or interprets his entire life through his relationship to that football team.
Right. In the final paragraph of The Longest Penalty, the narrator, who characterizes himself as, quote, an insolent teenager, scores a goal against the legendary but aging Gato Diaz, and the goalie says to him, "Someday when you're older, you're going to go around talking about how you scored a goal against Gato Diaz, only by then nobody will remember me." Would that ending have worked with any other sport?
I don't know. You know, that's an interesting quality that soccer has, and I think that we tried to bring across in the book is that quite a lot of the pieces address the negative or the melancholy or the darker side of the sport. How many deaths, how many tragedies have occurred within soccer stadiums, and we try to bring that across. The interesting thing about soccer is that a lot of games, the results of them, perhaps more so than other sports, the results are unfair. The best team frequently doesn't win. An accident, a refereeing decision, a mistake can result in a team winning 1-0 where they've been the inferior team. And I always think that this maybe is one reason why in the United States that the attachment to that kind of disappointment and melancholy of the sport has never taken hold, because in much of the world, they know how unfair life is. And we're very lucky here, if you call it that, to think that merit is always rewarded and that the best team always wins in soccer. That really doesn't happen all the time.
In what seems to me like one of the more fanciful entries in the book, Subcomandante Marcos, the charismatic representative of the Zapatista Army of National Liberation in Chiapas, Mexico, writes to the president of the Italian team, Internacional, suggesting a match or two between the Zapatistas and the team owned by the oil tycoon. Did this really happen?
Yes, this developed after one of the players of the team, Zanetti, who is from Argentina and is very socially conscious and is always concerned about war and equality, as are some other famous players and managers. Of course, Maradona is one of the best known. He suggested that match, and Subcomandante Marcos jumped at the idea, and they've had this interesting exchange between them that is quite poetic and imaginary, and sort of a match between the haves and have-nots, and justice and beauty will triumph.
The Global Game includes poems as well as essays and stories, and one of them by Edilberto Coutinho is entitled The Lord's Prayer Recast. John, would you read the English translation of that poem for us, please?
Sure. Lord Supreme Mathematician, thy power of infallible and perfect calculus come, give us each day our daily news about lots of goals. Beautiful goals by my suffering little Bangu soccer team. Forgive my wife for being a pain in the ass, as we forgive ourselves for our stupidity when perforating the tiny holes on the soccer lotto ticket mistakenly. Lead us not into temptation to root for another team. Deliver us from the goals of our opponents and bestow cramps upon the shins of their forwards. Amen. What now, woman?
You know, the humor in some of these. We talked about, you know, the dark side. Soccer is a sport that reflects how hard and unfair life can be. But I'm glad there was room for some fun stuff, too.
It was also important to us to show the cultural, the social, the political context of the game. And therefore, we also included quite a few passages by women. There's a nice quote by a 19th century Swami Vivekananda, who said, "You will be nearer to heaven through football than through the study of the Gita. You will understand Gita better with your biceps and your muscles." So we wanted to convey that as well.
Now that the book is out, do you suppose that you'll hear from readers of the Global Game around the world that you've left out some great possibilities?
I would hope to hear that, because I always had the feeling as we were compiling that this was just a surface. We were just getting some of the better-known pieces, some of the better-known teams, better-known matches. And you mentioned that the George Plimpton quote at the beginning, and I remember coming across that in his Norton anthology and thinking that I didn't want to come down too hard on him, because obviously the Norton anthology was compiled primarily for an American audience, and if you start uncovering all the literature about football that's been written for 100 or 150 years, you know, there wouldn't have been space for anything else in the book. So I understand that the where he was coming from in the task that he had set out for himself.
John Turnbull is one of the three editors of The Global Game, Writers on Soccer, published by University of Nebraska Press. He spoke with me from Georgia Public Broadcasting in Atlanta. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Bill.
And his colleague, Alone Robb, joined us by phone from Davis, California. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My conversation with John Turnbull and Alone Robb, two of the editors of The Global Game, Writers on Soccer, will be featured on this week's program. I'll also be talking with Pat Forty about the shifting landscape of men's college basketball as the month of madness looms. We'll have a story about the Denver Nuggets, a team that's been playing just well enough to hover around the top of the Northwest Division of the NBA's Western Conference, while most people have been paying more attention to the Lakers, the Cavaliers, the Pistons, and the Celtics. Only a game's Karen Given will bravely try to untangle some of the web various people involved with America's Cup racing have been weaving, presumably out of bowlines and halyards. And, of course, I'll be joined by Charlie Pierce, who will no doubt provoke some of you to email expressions of delight, or outrage, or both. So join us, and remember, you can always listen to the program at onlyagame.org.